Welcome to the first episode of a brand new series of Your Time on the Run, the Hunter podcast from Reality TV Warriors. My name is Michael Halfton, and I'm joined, as always, by my fellow Brit who spent the last 8 years trying to convince us that he's a lovely person, despite his exterior, Anthony Williams.
Good day to you all.
And the lady who is a mistress of disguise, which explains why New South Wales police still haven't found her, Michelle Pierce-Denovan.
Good evening.
Good evening. It's a brand new day and a brand new year and a brand new 2 years, let's be honest, because the last time we did this podcast, I had just got back from Belgium for Belgium Mole 2022, which does mean that this is nearly 2 years ago that we did a Hunted podcast.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Just crazy. I have missed doing it.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this last night after I did my notes on this episode. I'm like, what has actually happened in the last 2 years? And then I remembered there is a Hunted related thing in that I have mentioned on other podcasts I did the run-throughs for Sitting on a Fortune, both series of it. And the second year, there was the one time that I went out, there was a question about what the maximum amount of adverts you're allowed in an hour on British TV is. And it was like 12, 13, 14 or 15 minutes, I think it was. And I used my logic for watching Hunted and podcasting about Hunted and got it wrong, obviously. Because I said it was 12 minutes, it was 15, I think.
Yeah. Because the episodes when they've cut the adverts are about 45 minutes.
Yeah, used to be about 48, which was my logic. But came back to like the green roomy bit, because this was the first run through of the day of the two. And one of the medics said to me, "You say you do a podcast about Hunted?" I'm like, yeah, I do. He's like, "Oh, I used to be the commanding officer of someone who was on that show. Do you know Ben Owen?" I'm like, "Yes, I do. He's had some fun from our podcast." So he said, "Oh, I'll text him saying that I've met you. What do you want me to say?" And I'm like, "Just tell him that you're currently in the same room as the guy who coined calling you Sherlock." And he got a text back very quickly, just being like, "Yeah, I know that guy. Say hi for me." And the first year, as I probably have mentioned before, was the year that I met Glenn Hugill, who hosted Mole UK, and is the only person I've ever fangirled over who isn't Jill DaCosta.
And that's probably the only person on the planet that we've both done that to.
Yeah. Gary Lineker couldn't be asked turning up for the first run through of the day, so they're like, "Oh, our exec Glenn's gonna do it," and everyone else was just like, "Oh, who's Glenn?" And I'm just behind my COVID mask just going, "Oh my god, I know that's Glenn Hugill. Holy shit, it's Glenn Hugill. I'm gonna meet him. Oh my god." And then we get about Mullen. It was awesome.
Oh, that was like on Friday when Bo Ryan called JLP over to me and said, "JLP, come and meet Michelle." And I'm like, "Oh my god, he's coming."
At least you got to meet one good Australian reality TV show host, Michelle.
Look, Bo knew who I was. He recognised me. He came straight.
Yeah, because you're the only person in Australia who's nice to him.
That's not true.
Everyone else thinks he's a scumbag.
That's not true. Not true at all. He was really funny doing the Top Gear stuff.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Talking of Australian shit shows, Hunted Australia started in between our gap as well.
Oh, it's finished now. Yeah,
series three has just finished filming, and I'm assuming it's going to be as terribly edited as the first two were.
Oh, well, I can't comment on that. I just like watching it. I don't pick that one apart. I pick other things apart.
I mean, all jokes aside, it was very refreshing watching this episode and being like, yeah, I know it's only 21 days, but they are actually telling this story in chronological order and you can tell. And that's really nice.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, there were only a few things that I was like, oh, why have they done that?
Yeah, I think if we did somehow ever be desperate enough to do Hunted Australia recaps, there would be a lot of the phrase monkeying with the timeline involved.
There would. There very much would. I didn't get beyond the first series. I just couldn't do it.
No, I mean, aww. I got three episodes in and got so bored, but I ended up getting into a bit of a Wikipedia war with someone on the Hunted Australia page who was like, "No, it's being told in chronological order. They're only doing a couple of days per episode." And I'm like, "No, you can tell they're 6 days apart easily. What are you on?" One other Hunter related thing before we actually get into the episode, and I am aware we're on a time limit here. Did you see Pot Bitch last weekend?
No.
Pot Bitch is an email list that's been going on for decades at this point with sort of salacious celebrity and pop culture related news, and their big question last week was the following: Channel 4's Hunted is getting a real reputation for bed hopping bacchanalia behind the scenes, with a bunch of the hunters banging each other in their off time, but which of the hunters has bagged the most?
What are you saying? The word bagged or banged?
Either works, but bagged in this case.
Wow.
Jesus.
Interesting. I just thought I'd bring that to the class's attention, because no other Hunter podcast is going to do that at 10 o'clock on a Monday morning, are they?
Wow. Okay. And we're back with a bang.
Literally.
Yeah.
Thanks, Michelle. You've made my notes easier.
Okay. Is that the title?
So, yeah, 21 days, ridiculously short. That's almost as short as some of the celebrity ones have been. And more importantly, we're back to one a week. Yay! Yeah. No moaning about Channel 4 scheduling from me officially.
Well, no, you trying to put in so many different episodes at weird times.
Well, we had a contingency plan if they did two a week, which would have been a Monday and a Friday record. But
we
didn't need it, which is all that matters. On a slight complaint about scheduling note, they are obviously getting in the way of Belgian Mole airing for me, because I'll have to watch both from Sunday onwards, which is my birthday. But, you know, it's a small price to pay to still get both fun shows out.
Yeah.
So we begin with two of the Hunters seeing Sade and Cameron rapping alongside the A65, and they have eyes on. A little bit spoilery for the pre-titles clip. And the hunt begins as everyone is making their way towards Piccadilly Circus Tube Station at 8 a.m. And this is where we all met right before COVID.
Yeah. It's very close to where we were.
In fact, it's definitely the tube stop where both Michelle and I got off.
Wow.
Because I ended up buying the CD of a busker at Piccadilly Circus Tube Station. And he was really good. I still see him on social media.
Interesting start though, because it was like a pre-start. Like the Hunters knew that people were going to the start. Like, what's the next series? They're going to start off with them 6 months before or something. It seemed a little bit of a, they were already at the start point before the Fugitives got there, which is seems a little bit unfair. But
yeah, and there was some monkeying with the timeline with this as well, because they specifically say that everyone's making their way there at 8 o'clock. And I know the tube is slow, but it is not as slow as they were making it out to be.
No, no.
Because halfway through the episode, the boys end up getting on a train at about 10:35, I think. And I don't think it takes that long to get from Piccadilly Circus to Liverpool Street Station.
You would hope not. I mean, you could walk it in that time.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There is no way in hell that it took them that long. I mean, we know that they did all the group photo and all that sort of stuff at Piccadilly Circus Station. And I don't know how they got it so empty to do that. It must have been fairly early on. But yeah, there's some obvious monkeying with the timeline there, just not to the same extent as Australia. And Michelle's favourite, Lisa, is back as the chief. And more importantly, Dr. Steve Hersey, assistant to the chief, is back after missing the last civilian series.
And he's straight in there. Yeah, that was great. Lots of Steve footage. I've got to be happy.
Yeah.
Lots of Steve, lots of Doug.
Yep.
I mean, Steve is already trying to acquire some new nicknames. Dr. Sweet Hersey, that sort of thing. It's probably not going to take off like Sherlock did, I'm afraid, but we will inevitably try. And for the first time, the Hunters have access to the revolutionary tactic of motorbikes.
Yeah, why do they make such a big deal about that? That's clearly going to have to come back, isn't it? There's got to be a motorbike capture at some point.
You'd sort of hope so, but if it is just one of those things that they're introducing for the start and then it never comes back, I am going to take the piss out of them for the next 6 weeks for it. Because it's in all of the press packs and stuff as well.
Yeah.
It's like, motorbikes, they've got motorbikes. Oh my God, motorbikes. And they're probably not even sponsored. So they don't actually mention which motorbikes they are. Land Rovers they do. The rest of them, not so much. And our first team are Steve and Beth, who are a father and daughter from Essex. I'm sure Michelle loves Beth already. I have a lot of these notes coming up that's just like, I bet Michelle absolutely loves this person.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Love the bag. Love it.
When I say Steve and Beth, I obviously mean Steve, Beth and Louie, which is her bag. She is spoiled, but wouldn't ask for a pony apart from the fact that she did, and a horse. And he was in the army for 7 years, and we find out later had skin cancer and lost one of his ears.
Mm.
Yeah, interesting.
Certainly an interesting pair, and we got quite a lot of emotional backstory from these two, so that could bode well for them.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to end up splitting up? Because I do.
Not so much those two. I'm sure we'll get to it, but there's a team that I was getting a lot of split up vibes.
Yeah. I mean, they pretty much say that one of the teams splits up next week in the preview.
Really? Oh, maybe I missed it.
Yeah, they heavily implied that the boys are going to be going their separate ways.
Yeah.
Whether one gets captured and one doesn't, but...
She's got a bag called Louie.
She has two bags technically called Louie.
Yeah.
She has Big Louie and Little
Louie. The mini Louie.
Yeah. Little Louie and Littler Louie, technically. Oh, Jesus.
She has to get dirty and quick so I can feel happy.
That is maybe the most classic Michelle quote for a long while.
Oh, God.
Our second team are Jack and Alex, who are friends and, according to Mark at least, young and fit. Alex is looking forward to proving people wrong, and he doesn't even seem to know what this show is or the fact you can win 100 grand.
Yeah, like, how did he get him to sign up for that? Yeah, sure. Oh, by the way.
I love them. I love them so much.
I do like them.
Yeah. They are definitely the team we've seen so far who are most likely to troll the hunters, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And lots of indications that they might go quite far, or at least one of them.
Yeah. I don't think either of them are going to get captured at the start of next episode, to be honest. I think they are going to escape.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no way that they waste a fun team like this. Especially when they seem to be the team who really get under the skin of the hunters the most, just generally with their existence.
Yep.
I mean, Mark describes Jack as looking like a younger, fatter Piers Morgan at one point.
Yes. which is
brilliant.
I don't
think that's the sort of thing that is not going to reap some rewards in the end.
Absolutely.
Christine and Munya are a married couple from Sheffield. Dr. Steve Hersey says they're an older couple, which I'm sure both of you appreciated them saying, given that they were 47, I think it was.
Oh, my God. And they were the couple that were holding hands, weren't they?
Yeah.
They're lovely.
You know what? That was the only time I've agreed with the chief. You know, when someone in there was saying, oh, isn't that sweet? And she said, oh, get a grip. I'm like, yes.
See, I was going to joke that you were like, oh, they love each other. No, get them off my screen. And now you've just done it for me. So thanks, Michelle.
Oh, that's okay. No, I just agreed with the chief. I just thought it was surprising.
It just really tickled me that Dr. Steve did call them the older couple. And I'm like, yeah, I know I joke about Ant's age, but he's still over 47. And Michelle, despite not looking it, is still over 47. I'm sure both of them will really appreciate that.
Yeah, it is kind of weird coming to terms with the fact that you're the same age as old people.
I mean, I had it with the mole Netflix, where I would have been the second youngest person on the cast at like 29 when that aired.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, Christine and Munya are a memorable team, not necessarily for the right reasons. They seem lovely. They weren't really cut out to be fugitives.
No, and it's a shame because I think they would have been really good fun if they'd have gone a bit longer. But never mind. Someone's got to be the first team to get caught.
And for once, it wasn't the old women.
No.
And they all reach Piccadilly Circus with a helicopter overhead. One of them even gives a double bird to the helicopter, which I appreciated. And I'm not sure whether that was the older ladies.
I think it might have been. They were great.
They did do it straight afterwards, but someone was visible running, giving them both fingers.
Yeah.
They've not been able to plan their escape, and they've been given access to limited funds, although, unlike most series, we don't know how much those limited funds are. We just know they're more than £40.
But why did... I mean, I even wrote down £40. Why only £40? Can they only take out £40? Because if they can take out more, they were stupid.
I think... Correct me if I'm wrong, but when I spoke to Joe and Dan after Series 3, I think they said they could only take a maximum of £50 out a day. And they, when they left Manchester for their extraction, they could only find a cash machine that did £20 notes. So they could only take out £40 in that case.
No, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
I mean, the rules are very fluid on this show. It might have changed since then, but I think that was the case for Series 3 at least.
Yeah.
We are also... later on hinted at there being another rule change from previous series, but we will get to that. Sade and Cameron are the next ones. They're a mother and son, and the hunters are already worried about how fast they are. Jackson and Nicola are siblings from Wigan and half fugitive, half hunter, as they are prison officers, and they get hazmat suits to change into.
I think they could well be a lot of fun as well.
Yeah. The one thing to flag with them is that when I was looking through the bios yesterday, I did find out that Jackson is the first trans person on Hunted as well.
Oh, okay.
Sure, that will come into play later when they're actually focused on in the episodes, but I believe Jackson started transitioning about 18 months before this series.
Oh, amazing. Ah. Cool. I love that they immediately went for a disguise with a massive butterfly tattoo on the neck.
I was thinking that. It's the least subtle disguise possible, given, you know, the big F-off butterfly tattoo on the front of Jackson's neck.
Oh, it can't be them, because the guy we saw with the butterfly tattoo did not have a hazmat suit on. It must be a different person.
Yeah. I think also they might have some army background as well. There's about 3 or 4 people in this series who do.
Wouldn't surprise me. It's a relatively common route, isn't it, from the forces into prison service?
Yeah, obviously we do know that Munya did, but I think there's about 3 or 4 people in this cast who have some sort of former army background. It is a lot. Usually it's only 1 or 2, because obviously the Hunters take it very personally. But I think Jackson and Nicola do. I'm sure I will be corrected on social media in the next week if I'm wrong, but I think they both do.
Mm-hmm.
I think they actually mentioned it, so maybe I'm on the right lines there. Then we go back to Michelle's favourite, Beth, who says she isn't going to dull down her style because she's on the run. She keeps her Louis Vuitton bag with her, and she's not going to camp or get dirty or do anything, really.
I beg to differ.
Yes.
Oh, I would pay money to see Michelle interact with some of these people.
Well, I'm not nasty to people's faces, but it'd be really hard. I would actually say, you have to leave the bag. Like, what are you doing? You can't even carry that on your back.
I do think that we need to find a way for Michelle to be the embedded producer for one of these teams one day. Just hear her behind the camera going, no, stop being an idiot. You're stupid.
Correct. How, can I just say, how on earth that chopper was so low over London? Like, that doesn't happen unless there's some sort of terrorist act. That was really low.
Do you know how they managed to do that? The fact this was filmed during COVID.
Well, yeah, that would help. I mean, it was back end of COVID. But you, actually, Michelle, you'd be surprised how many helicopters go in and out of central London. Because I worked there for a couple of years, and I was forever seeing them. Albeit we were right by Buckingham Palace, so they could well have been going in and out of the palace grounds. But a lot of low-flying helicopters in central London.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, low-flying helicopters is how I found out that Hunted were filming in Manchester for Series 3, because I was walking to work around the corner and they were filming B-roll because they'd released all the fugitives the day before. And I ended up tweeting out, why is there a helicopter flying so low over St. Peter's Square? And someone replied, oh, they were filming Hunted yesterday. I don't know what the rules are. I'm sure someone will tell us. But yeah, I think it was very much beneficial to them that this was filming towards the back end of COVID, because this was June 2022 that this filmed.
Yeah.
Why are they so late bringing it out?
Very good question, because we were planning on doing this show in about August last year, I believe.
Yeah.
In fact, the recording room, when I was going to set it up last night, it said, oh, you've already got one with that name, because I'd set it up last August.
Don't know why it was pushed back.
Yeah, we were told it was going to be August last year, and then for some reason it was held back to March 24.
I mean, even August last year would still have been a big gap, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would have been over a year. Mm. I think originally it was meant to be May last year, then it got moved to August, and then it got moved to March. But yeah, it still would have been about a year, which is really awkward when you get scenes like Jack and Alex going, oh, I already miss my girlfriend. And I'm like, I haven't looked, but there's a non-zero chance that you are not with that girlfriend anymore.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility.
So the next team are Kathy and Anada, who are friends from Essex. They're at risk of the heat-seeking devices because they're menopausal. And they are being targeted already as being the slowest runners.
I love these two. I think they're going to be fun. I hope they don't get caught soon.
Yeah, I think they are going to get caught, sadly, but I think they're going to be very entertaining for however many episodes we have them for.
I want to give you a valid question.
Okay.
So I'm looking at them on the couch.
Yeah.
One of them is 2 years older than me. One of them is the same age as me.
Yeah.
Practically, like 3 months off. So I'm looking at them and thinking, have they just led a really bad life? Or like, why do I look so different from the other 55-year-old there? I think the aesthetic, she's the aesthetic beautician. Like, yeah. I don't understand how I can look so different from them.
I will preface this by saying I know for a fact that they are going to listen to this podcast because they have already liked my post that I did on the Channel 4 Hunter group last night.
But I don't get it.
I will say that living in Australia probably helps a lot, Michelle.
You think? Is that what it is? I don't. And I'm not.
You'll have had a lot more exposure to vitamin D than they will have.
Right. You think it's sun exposure?
I think maybe they enjoy their beauty treatments and maybe have done a few sunbeds.
Okay. I'm always amazed. Well, not always amazed. I'm sometimes amazed that how could two people the same age look so different?
You also have to remember, Michelle, you do not look your age.
No, that is very true.
Yeah.
It is something my family have said before. It's like, there's no way Michelle's that old. I'm like, she is. She just doesn't look it.
And I don't act it either, so there's an issue
there.
Well,
yeah, that as well.
But maybe you should give some aesthetic tips to them.
Maybe that could be a new feature. Michelle's segment.
But I really want them to go well because they're my age.
I really want them to go well because, yeah, they are a little bit older, but they just seem like they're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very rare for fugitives of their age bracket to do very well, I would say, but they do seem very fun and very up for just being dickheads to the hunters, which I'm kind of appreciative for.
Yeah, same.
I think if they last long enough, they are going to end up really infuriating Lisa, which, you know, makes good TV.
Hey, can I say there's a new bit of eye candy in HQ? Daisy.
She was there last time.
Was she? I didn't remember Daisy.
I don't remember her.
Yeah, because
she had a makeover.
No, I'm pretty sure she was there because I think she was on. Was she? No, she isn't. She's new. I'm incorrect. Because she was actually the first of the new hunters to follow us on Instagram.
Oh, well, so she's a bit. She's a bit of all right, as you English people would say.
She's fresh blood for HQ.
Yeah, well, it's better than looking at all the men in suits, you know. I'm not gay, but I like looking at nice hair and what they wear. Obviously, they're only going to wear the same thing, but.
It's back to Kathy and Anna. I'm like, yeah. This is one of the latest recordings we've ever done for Michelle, and you know, I think it's all the better for it.
No, it's not. We used to do Amazing Race at like 11 p.m.
Did we? I don't think.
Yeah. Sometimes
we don't tend to do that many early recordings for the UK time slot.
No,
we certainly haven't done for a while.
No.
So back to Kathy and Anna, anyway. They go under an archway at the Ritz and go get changed and manage to lose the helicopter, and JP and Merv miss them.
Yep.
No, nice move. It's a big old building, lots of entrance and exits, lots of people around. Got to go with that. That's good.
It is an interesting tactic when they are still sort of filming under COVID conditions. You still have the perspex screens. There aren't going to be a lot of people as cover necessarily. Obviously, he was getting more back to normal, but
it's a shame it wasn't later in the day. They could have stopped off and had a nice little afternoon tea.
Yeah. Lisa then asks Ed to get all the main train stations on monitoring, and HQ also find out that Jack and Alex have got Boris bikes. They withdraw £40 and never usually carry cash. And the helicopter gets diverted to Fleet Street, where they are, as are the motorbikes.
Stupid. 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 Like, why? Oh, they're even tracked by the company. Like,
yeah, it is an interesting tactic to use the Santander bikes to give them their official names now. Because, yeah, it does very much say where the start and end points are.
Yeah, it is a little bit of a giveaway.
I mean, they do manage to get away with it somehow, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, central London is really small, so, you know, by the time they've been somewhere and dumped the bikes, I'm not sure that information is awful lot of use. They're probably on and off it within 20 minutes.
Yeah. And they were sent away to boarding school at 8, and now they have a big network to play with. And they're both very competitive.
I'm getting good vibes from these guys. Both from an entertainment and a competitive point of view. I think there's going to be a lot of interesting scenes with these guys.
Yeah. I mean, their archetype does tend to do very well. It also tends to be one that really annoys the hunters.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, the slightest sniff of privilege, and they'll be straight on that. But yeah, they should have a brilliant network. That could well be their undoing, though, because they're connected to quite high-profile people, as we will see later.
Yeah. I mean, all we're saying is that we don't want to be saying goodbye to them. We want to be saying hello to them.
Oh, Jesus.
I have been waiting all day to do that joke.
I don't even know who Harlow is.
They are spotted by the helicopter and dump the bikes at Liverpool Street Station, where they go underground. And they buy one-way tickets to Harlow, and HQ get the footage of them there.
Oh, God. Really? You waited all day to say that? Really?
You're still hung up on the terrible Harlow joke.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this, and it's something that we haven't really discussed in previous series specifically, and that is, it must be pretty awful if you're a fugitive and your embedded camera person goes, yeah, can you just put these GoPros on, please?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because as soon as the GoPros go on, you go, oh shit, they're nearby, aren't they? Oh God, we're in trouble here.
Yeah, there's a potential running away from hunters scene coming up.
Yeah, because they're both wearing GoPros on the train. And in fact, I think Christine and Munya do when they end up getting caught at the end. Yeah. They're both just sat in the lounge with GoPros on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, wouldn't you leave the lounge as soon as the GoPro bag comes out?
Oh, yeah. 100% you would.
Like, leave the train when the GoPro bag comes out.
Or at least hide away from the doors. So most of the fugitives have already escaped central London, but not Jack and Alex. However, the motorbike hunters miss them by seconds, and it is already 10:35 a.m, which seems like a long time since they got on the tube at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it does a little bit, but you never know, do you?
Kathy and Anada are also still in central London, and they get cash out of Westminster Tube Station less than a mile from the start point. And I also love how we see that HQ share everything via Google Drive, but deign to blur out the Google logo. One of Anada's son's friends said that doing hunted was for young people, and that is their entire motivation for trying to win. They don't have enough time to get on a boat, so head out, narrowly missing JP and Mervyn again.
How lucky was that, that they were like, no, we're not waiting 11 minutes, let's go.
If they stayed on that boat, they would have got caught on day one.
Definitely. Absolutely. Good instincts. That's why I like them.
Yeah. And in Harlow, at 11:10 a.m, Jack and Alex are pinging on CCTV again, and they are collecting essential supplies from the manor house of a friend's parents. And they describe themselves as good time guys.
And they wish they hadn't.
Instantly regret that.
Jack says he likes his luxuries, and Alex misses his girlfriend, which, as I've already said, could be a little bit awkward given it's 2 years ago. And then HQ find out that Christine and Munya call each other sweetie, and they're caught going to Heathrow. And they were born and bred in Zimbabwe and have been inseparable since the age of 17 when they met. And they try and get a lift from someone in the diplomatic service, which is kind of glossed over.
Yeah. Yeah, presumably like a big black shiny car with a... I just imagine it's like a guy with blacked out sunglasses and an earpiece and everything.
And now the rule change that's alluded to, because Lisa tells them to check they haven't got a flight out.
Well, have they ever restricted domestic flights?
Yeah. Yeah, they've never been allowed to fly on the UK one. At least, from what we've been told.
Well,
hang on, no, private flight.
Private planes.
No, that was America.
Yeah, that was America. They've never done private jets in the UK.
Okay. I think there might be a private plane in this series later, but
so do I, but
so maybe that's why they've left that bit in, to make it ambiguous that, yes, potentially they could fly as long as they don't leave British airspace.
That was indeed hinted at in the trailer, you are correct. But yeah, I thought it was very interesting that they specifically do say in this bit, oh yeah, you need to check they've not got a flight out. Because it very much has been banned in the UK before. It isn't banned in the US, obviously, or it wasn't banned in the US, and it isn't banned in Australia either, I believe. I think one of the teams in Series 1 of the Australian one also got a private jet of some description.
And do we know it's explicitly banned, or is it just never come up before?
Definitely used to be.
Okay.
I don't know when that rule change happened. It might have been a few series ago at this point. I would say a few years ago, but obviously this show only airs once every 2 years now. But yeah, it definitely used to be banned. Presumably now, not so much. Having said that, WhatsApp used to be banned and it isn't anymore, so.
Yeah. Good move, though. I thought if you're going to go somewhere, Heathrow's a really good place to go because you're going to have people that have arrived that are going all over the place. It's a great little kindness of strangers move.
It is, but also Heathrow won't have been that busy when they filmed, necessarily.
Yeah.
It's an interesting gamble from that perspective in the fact that Heathrow really suffered because of COVID and they didn't have that many people there even up until sort of the start of last year.
It was very interesting, and I'm thinking in my mind, like, why are they going to Heathrow? Like, what the hell? But yeah, when they were waiting and I thought, oh, there'd be cabs going everywhere. This could be good. But who wants to share a cab when you've just got off a plane?
Yeah.
Like, weird thinking in that respect.
And also, Heathrow is in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So if you're trapped at Heathrow, you're kind of screwed. When they arrived at the age of 24, Christine was already 6 months pregnant, and this is an opportunity to do something for themselves for the first time in 24 years, otherwise known as a death knell confessional.
Just a bit.
However, their vehicle is already spotted leaving Heathrow, and the Laura Veers connection is already made, and the fact that she's playing Norwich on the 9th of June is already identified as well.
Yeah, I did find this stretches it a little bit. We've spotted them on CCTV in a car at Heathrow. Really? How many cameras are there in Heathrow? They don't know what car they're looking for. And it's two people in the back seat of a car and they spotted them.
Yeah, I wonder whether it's because it's a hire car.
I don't know. I mean, it just feels like that's a bit of a needle in a haystack.
I wonder if there's an off-air rule like there used to be with WhatsApp that if you use a hire car, the hunters get your identification on it. Because I was going to say, what if it's something to do with the facial recognition that we had at the start of this episode, which is probably going to come back to bite a few of the fugitives, but they were in the back seat, so it can't have been that. So I think it's probably due to the hire car more than anything.
Yeah, but how many hire cars are there coming out of Heathrow Airport?
Well, that's the thing. If they're explicitly told you cannot use a hire car, you cannot be in a hire car knowingly, then if Christine and Munya broke that rule, then the hunters get their location. And they have to find a way to fudge it on the actual show. That's my suspicion on it.
I'm giving them benefit of the doubt. They said they spotted them on CCTV. It just seems a little bit of a, wow, okay.
Yeah, I've never been to the short stay car park of Heathrow Terminal 3, but I suspect there aren't that many CCTV cameras in there. And Laura does also offer them a room for the night, which is very nice of her.
It was very nice. And also, and this must be sheer luck, right? That they want to get to Nottingham, and Nottingham is the second night of her tour.
I mean, who would actually want to go to Nottingham, though?
Well, that's a very good point.
It is a bit of a hole.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's also about 20 minutes away from where I live, Michelle.
Oh, that's a bit sad.
Which I think Michael, was probably more nice. What Michael was hinting at.
Yeah, it was. You're correct. I mean, I have been to Nottingham once, and it wasn't that good.
It's a very nice, it's a lovely city, actually, Michelle. It's very nice. Great night out in Nottingham.
I went to Sherwood Forest and Centre Park's up that way, so.
Yeah, it's North Nottinghamshire.
Ray then tries to convince us that Lisa is a lovely woman despite her exterior. And the most terrifying bit of this entire scene was the fact that the camera was so close to Ray's face when he was saying this. Yeah. It was malevolent. there are ways to convince us that Lisa is a lovely woman, but having a camera stuck up Ray's nostril is not the one.
Oh my god.
Analyst Daisy, who Michelle has a crush on, finds Instagram posts from Brooks and Laura and matches the picture of the Cathedral of St. John's in Norwich and uses the spire to match the pub and identify the exact place that they stayed. Very impressive. Doug has taught her well.
Yes, this was lovely, lovely bit of social media investigation. Very happy with that.
I don't know about that because there are so many churches over there. How did she get to that one? Like, literally, it's like pubs over there. There's a church, there's a pub. There's a church, there's a pub.
I mean, a lot of the time, we don't see the 99% of nonsense that has gone into this that she's done before, being like, it's not that church, it's not that church.
Yeah.
We just see the successful bit of this because it's a 45 and a half minute show.
Oh, definitely. That's like finding an idol on Survivor.
Yes.
But it's a very impressive piece of work, especially for a first episode for Daisy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bravo, Daisy. Well done.
Yeah, and I'm not just saying this because she's very likely to listen to this podcast. And I'm very likely that we will get a DM going, yeah, Michelle's pretty hot too.
Oh, God.
You really think that I'm ever going to let this go, Michelle? You're wrong. It's very
probably
funny.
Not. Probably not. I know you too well.
Yeah. Oh, seriously. I've done far worse to you. So after 48 hours on the run, the fugitives are spread out along the length and breadth of the UK, if you believe the voiceover guy, or Southeast England, as it's more commonly known to the rest of us.
Yeah, apart from Sade and Cameron, who look like they're probably back home in Nottingham.
It really tickles me every single time they go, oh yeah, spread out of the length and breadth of the UK, and it's just like, yeah, no, it's not.
Yeah, there's nobody more than 2 hours away from where they started at that stage.
Yeah. So Mark says that Jack looks like a younger, sweaty version of Piers Morgan, which I think is a tad harsh.
Not inaccurate, but yeah.
Not inaccurate, but I think Mark has been spending a little bit too much time with Michelle's favourite Lisa Theaker. Again, after last series, they are making the Hunters slightly pantomime villainy again.
Yeah, I like it. I like when we get a bit of personality out of them. It's good.
I like having the personality. I just think that, especially if you're going to be in a situation like the last celebrity one or when they got a clean sweep in the civilian one, you sort of want the Hunters to be likable enough to go, actually, yeah, you guys are pretty good at your jobs.
Hmm.
I think they slightly tipped over the line last series, and it's not as bad as it was last series in terms of outright scum and villainy, but I think there is an element of pantomime villainy still in this first episode. They definitely want us to be Team Fugitive, I think, after this episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's pretty much always been the case, though, really.
Yeah, usually they give the Hunters a bit more of a nice edit. Usually it's not outright insulting their looks, for example. Having said that, Lisa's goodbye to Munya and Christine was actually pretty good for her.
Yes, it was.
Kathy and Anna have no plan, no clue, and no money and won't last that long. However, they are mistresses of disguise. Which means putting a face mask on.
I don't think they're going to be disguised very much at all. They're not going to be shaving their heads and looking drastically different to what they are now.
Wait and see. Who knows?
You never know, Michelle. Oh. We might have skinhead Kathy and Adida coming for a plane at the end of the series.
Jeez.
Steve has worked physical labour all his life, and Beth is a wannabe influencer and maybe daddy's princess.
Maybe.
That's from the Hunters. The Hunters don't know for certain that she's a daddy's princess. They haven't spotted the Louis Vuitton bags yet. They do have a disagree on camping and whether they're going to do it. And this is also where we find out he got diagnosed with skin cancer in 2018, and that is how he lost his ear.
I think these are going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I can't decide what happens to them, but based on, we've got a nice little bit of backstory, we've got a potential relationship that grows and flourishes, we've got lots of poignant music going on, I wouldn't be shocked if they did surprisingly well.
And the other key thing is the Hunters were nowhere near them.
No,
they had so much focus for so little risk in this episode.
Mm. Yep. Absolutely. Now, if in episode 2 and 3 we see lots more of them skipping through fields, a la Nick season 2, I think we could possibly see something happening there.
Yeah, or even Rob.
Yeah.
Ben and Rob were focused on so much in episodes that they had no business being in, just to remind us that they existed for when they win.
Yep. So, and there's lots of little bits and bobs, like, you know, we're going to take all the memories we can out of this and stuff like that. It might not mean they win, but I wouldn't be at all shocked if they made it an awful long way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you say an awful long way, it's only 3 weeks now.
Well, that is true.
They have cut an entire quarter off the first series.
Yeah. I wonder why they've done that.
I don't know. It could be a COVID filming thing. It could just be availability of everyone involved, Hunters.
Did they film last year?
No. They didn't film a civilian one.
Why?
Because they had this one still in the can, presumably. They filmed a celebrity one last year, but they didn't film a civilian one.
Are there applications out to film this year?
Well, they could still do both this year. We don't know. They still haven't aired the celebrity one, so what they might do is a civilian one only this year and then add the celebrity one at the end of the year or something.
Okay. So no applications out?
No, but they don't tend to announce the applications till the end of the series anyway.
Yeah.
It tends to be sort of episodes 5 or 6 where they go, if you want to be on Hunted, take a look at yourself.
Yeah, although airing this time of year would make it possible, wouldn't it? Because they've always tended to be May, June time when they filmed.
Yeah, I mean, the finale of this series, assuming it is 1 a week still, is about the 21st of April, I think.
Mm.
So they could still do a late summer record for Civilian if they open applications early enough. So in Norwich, Munya and Christine are leaving after 2 days, getting a lift to a friend's house in Nottingham with Laura's support act. However, HQ gets CCTV of them leaving in another hire car. They request telematics, including a location of where they have stopped.
Yeah, and the writing is very much on the wall at that stage, isn't it?
Yeah, especially when they chill in a lounge wearing GoPros, thinking nothing could possibly go wrong.
I know. I love that, Christine. I'm feeling really calm and in control. It's like, have you never watched Survivor? You don't say that. You never say, I'm feeling safe. That means you are definitely going home.
I mean, in the UK, it's a fair bet that she didn't watch Survivor, given that nobody did.
It wasn't a bad season by the time you got into it.
Well, the reboot hadn't aired at that stage, had it? But
no, the reboot hadn't aired. I think it was rumoured at that point, but I don't think it had aired. But, yeah.
But it's just such a reality TV phrase, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Everything is going well. Nothing could possibly go wrong right now.
Going back to Michelle's point, yeah, as soon as you sort of get to the merge of that series, it was the most I've enjoyed Survivor in years. However, it is a bit of a slog for the first 5 episodes at least, and nobody watched it as a result.
Such a shame, though, because you're right, it panned out being a really good series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apart from, you know, using the final three and stuff, but...
Yeah, I don't mind that. Users. I think that was okay. There you go. I'll tell you what I did notice, and I don't know why I noticed it, is that I think for the first time ever, we had a Ring doorbell.
It
just occurred to me that how they've been around for a while, but 2 years ago was probably about the point when they became a bit of a cultural thing, where people talk about Ring doorbells, and certainly the tone has become quite popular. So I thought that was interesting. I wonder if that was maybe... showing us that that's another potential surveillance, because that's like rife now, isn't it? You know, whenever you see on your local Facebook page of, you know, my car's been broken into, everybody's like, I've got Ring doorbell footage.
Yeah, 2 things on that point. One, it's hilarious to think about how they actually got that footage, because it would have been watermarked if they got it from actual Ring, so they probably had to strap a GoPro to the door as a result of it. And 2, more importantly, really, really funny when new Hunter James is just kind of chilling by the front door, thinking the Ring doorbell isn't going to ping anyway.
Yeah, motion sense.
Yeah, because if they've got motion alerts on, there is no way in hell that those homeowners did not know that the Hunter was outside the front door. Because he was not being subtle with his hiding place. So they are chilling at the house and not realising how close the Hunters are. James and Jordan park up around the corner and sprint over. James does look through the letterbox, not spotting that there is a Ring doorbell. Jordan gets eyes on both of them from the back. James storms the house. Christine's time of the run's over. And despite running, Jordan gets Munya too. And that was a very brief thing for them to do for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame. I think they would have really enjoyed it. But, you know, we've got classic errors, haven't we? We've got using known associates. They've been caught on CCTV numerous times. They're in new cars with telematics. They've let their guard down at a known associate's house. Of course they're getting caught.
Yeah.
I did like the major errors line, though.
Yeah, that was one of Lisa's best. I know it's a low bar, but it was one of her best. And actually, she wasn't a complete dick to them, which was nice.
No, I'm wondering if she's thought about that and she wants to come across slightly differently. She was quite magnanimous, wasn't she? She was like,
yeah,
you know,
she was certainly brusque in her first couple of series, including the celebrity ones. And I think between that and Ray's line about, oh, actually, Lisa's not that much of an arsehole, really. I think there is a deliberate effort to soften her slightly.
Yeah, so she doesn't need to be mean and evil. It's only a game.
No, I mean, if you look back to the previous Chiefs of the answers that we've had, Blex was playful, but he was never that much of a dick to people.
No,
certainly not on screen.
Yeah, and Sherlock wasn't. And Brett, there was a Brett, apparently.
Yeah, I remember Brett from Series 1.
Can't you remember Brett?
I mean, in our timeline, it's, what, 4 years since we covered that series? I can barely remember him still, I'll be honest. So we then go back to Jack and Alex for the final segment of the episode. They are gardening in exchange for bed and board. However, Sophia cracks Alex's Facebook Messenger account and finds out about Ginny, who they are staying with, and making the Harlow connection. The Hunters do a U-turn, and unfortunately for them, Jack spots them in the country lane doing it. His sus radar is very good and he convinces Alex to grab their stuff. And the Hunters find out from Jonathan that the boys stayed the night in the manor, but not that they're in the woods, or indeed visible from the window that he's hiding from them.
And the answers he was giving, they were so weird. He could have slept in this room. And like the Hunter said, well, how would you not know? like seriously, why is he answering so weirdly?
I don't think he anticipated, you know, being interrogated by Georgina, who is, being honest, probably the scariest of all the female Hunters to have shouting at you.
Also, he is the High Sheriff of Hertfordshire, so clearly a politician, so would want to avoid questions, obviously. Yeah, Jonathan's the High Sheriff, or was the High Sheriff of Hertfordshire, and their little place is called Stansted Bury, just outside Harlow.
I was fully expecting you to have done the research to find out who the hell they were with the manor house in Harlow.
Well, that was kind of my point around, you know, if you've got known associates, fine, but known associates who are eminently Googleable because they are high-profile people who live in a massive stately home is probably not a good idea. It literally took me 10 seconds to find out who he was and where he lived.
They aren't known associates, so necessarily, because there's still a degree of separation, because their son went to school with one of Jack and Alex.
Yeah, but that's still pretty close.
Yeah, there is a degree of separation. Also, if you're going to hide somewhere, a big F-off manor house is not the worst place to hide, given there'll be loads of hiding places. It's going to take them a while to find you in that estate.
Kind of, yeah. But you know my view. No association whatsoever. Yeah. Go random as you can.
It's still stupid, but it's not stupid! If you get my drift. There are worse places we've seen that people have hidden on this show.
That's true.
I love the bit where Alex said to Jack, let me just talk you down from the edge. Because Jack was going absolutely burko.
Yeah, but he was right. That's the thing. Jack was 100% right here. Alex is being far too lackadaisical about these things.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
So Alex then goes to look at the front and spots JP and Mervyn, and that's where the episode ends.
I don't think they see them. I don't think, even though the Hunter said, oh, what was that? I don't think the Hunters see them.
I don't think the, oh, what was that, is actually related to it. I think they just happened to say it.
I think they are going to escape quite easily.
Yeah, I think this is one of those cliffhangers where it's the opposite of the truth. They're nowhere near. They're not going to see them. And they'll be fine, although it could be what prompts the split.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they split next week, but I think they're both still going to be on the run by the time we talk about it this time next week, to be honest.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
So next time, more Land Rover wheel spin, Beth gets sprayed in the face, is seen with her handbag and cries, the hunters get a list of names and crack a network, Jordan has eyes on, Alex jumps a gate, and Jack loses his friend already.
Whose list is it, do we think?
I presume it's going to be a team that we've not seen yet, or not heard from properly yet.
Yeah, I think...
Because we only met four of... Well, we met all six pairs, but we only actually spent a decent amount of time with four of them.
Mm-hmm.
The handwriting looked more feminine to me.
Yes, I thought that, actually.
So it might be Kathy and Anada, maybe. Anything else you guys want to say?
A big shout out for Mark Doyle for doing the myth busting last night. Saved us a job.
Thank you, Mark Doyle. He did message me going, oh, I didn't realise Hunting was back. Are you guys covering it? I'm like, yes, we are. We might have had a bit of negotiation about the recording time, but yes, we are.
Yeah, he was straight in. He was straight in with the beautiful on party line of, no, you can't see someone with a camera magically. If you can see someone with a camera, you can see the fugitive, so it doesn't really matter, does it? And et cetera, et cetera.
Fighting the good fight, Mark.
He was, very much so. And some interesting theories from friend of the podcast, Stephen Wensley, as well. So that was good.
Yeah, I would also like to say to Stephen, I was very much joking when I say we don't give nicknames on this podcast. Obviously we do. We came up with Sherlock.
Yeah.
Anything from you, Michelle?
No, I have given you everything from my notes.
Excellent. In that case, thank you for listening to our Hunted Recap. We'll be back this time next week for another episode. Don't forget you can contact us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram where we are RTV Warriors. Or you can email us and contact at rtvwarriors.com. Anthony is on the artist formerly known as Twitter, still at Bullsboy.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've changed your Instagram. Still at Bullsboy. Michelle is Bear333333333 and I'm MJ Harmstone. We will see you next Tuesday for episode 2. But for this week, your time in the run is over.
Bye.
Bye.